I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gate with praise. I will sing and sing the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me. Oh,
he has made me. I will rejoice for he has made me. every chain. Oh, to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, there's an hour. There's an hour. Oh, there's an hour. There's an hour. Break every chain. Oh, to break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain. Oh, there's an hour. There's an hour.
All over the building. Don't break every chain.
Oh, I hear the chain.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know whether it is just I, but it is just a wonderful atmosphere every time we are about to take the communion.
Amen.
How many have observed that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being that army.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's just turn our Bibles. We are not going to be long. We are going to turn to our Bibles. God bless you, my brother. Good to see you. Amen. Is your wife here? Oh, all right. Yes. Amen. Hey, you just come in the front here. The believers must see you. Amen. Just come here. We bring her over here. Cause, yeah, these are young people that make us proud.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. Remember Sister Rachel, and there's our brother. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you for coming this side. We appreciate you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Amen. Getting married is very nice.
Amen.
Do you agree, Brother Philip? It's 39 years this year. How many years? I mean, 6 years you have been married? 27. Hey. How many are below the age of 37? Let them raise their hands. Before you were born. Brother Philip and Sister Winnie walked down the aisle. Amen. And guess what? They are still together. Not only together, happily together. Amen. Because there's a difference between just being together and happily being together. Amen. Amen. When you visit them, they just have a wonderful sense of humor. Whenever I come back from their place, see, we laugh until the wee hours of the morning. Amen. Amen. We appreciate that. Brother Chichi, is how many? 27. It looks like they all end up with 27. Brother Mbayana, how many years? 21. Oh. Brother Dipadi, 19. You say, I've got a record of marriages. Amen. Brother, you just got married. I hope one day you will come and say, I will as well say, he has been married for 31 years. Amen. You know, if Satan attacks your marriage, you remain on your knees. God will fix it. I say, God will fix it. This God really fixes things. Amen. God bless you richly. Let's just turn to the book of Genesis from verse 14. We just want to read about our father, the patriarch Abraham. If there's one thing that gives me joy, that really makes me happy to be pastor here, is the attendance of our Wednesday service. A lot of pastors, they say, hey, Wednesday service is a problem. No one pitches. But here, Wednesday service is such a blessing. Amen. Keep it that way. Amen. Normally, you measure, I know some, obviously, with work commitments, it's understandable. But we measure the growth and the maturity of the church by prayer meetings. Amen. Wednesday is a prayer meeting. It's what strengthens Sunday. Will you keep it that way? I hope when I praise you, the devil won't go and say, they praise you and wheels come off. Don't do that. If I praise you, I say, do more. Amen. God bless you. Genesis 14, verse 14, excuse me, it reads in this manner, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he did not rejoice and say, I told the fella. He said, I know he was going to end up that way, but our father of faith, he armed his trained servants. Born in his house, 380, and pursued them unto Dan. Pursue. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. He brought back all the goods. Does it all connect with what we spoke about this morning? He pursued and brought all the goods back. And also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. Oh God, help us to be like our father Abraham. When the enemy has captured our brother, we come together, we go after and pursue and bring him. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Shadow Lama and of the kings that were with him and the valley of the Chevy, which is the king's day. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And you remember Melchizedek is a man without the beginning of days and without the ending of days. The first time he made an appearance in the scripture, he had bread and wine. And that Melchizedek, Brother Abraham said, who is this Melchizedek? I believe what he did for Abraham, he is going to do it to you, for you tonight. Amen. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Amen. Amen. Shall we bow heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such sweet spiritual aroma in the building, dear God. It is because you are here we can feel such a sweet anointing, dear God, sweeping over the audience. And before we partake, we thought we should speak to the believers about these critical ordinances that you have left for the church. These believers are here for one thing, because they love you and they want to serve you with all that they have. I commit them to you as I commit myself to you for your glory. All these things we ask them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. While you take your seat just for a couple of minutes, we won't be that long. I just want to go through a few quotations and then just to establish scriptural parameters. Amen. The Lord said to do this in remembrance of me. Amen. The reason we have come tonight, it is in remembrance of him. It is because we want to remember what he has done for us. But I just want to say, maybe speak about meeting Melchizedek. Amen. Meeting Melchizedek. That's what I think we've spoken about this subject in this church many times. You remember the first time we said, who is this Melchizedek? And we said the order of the Melchizedek priesthood. How many remember that? We even had the diagram showing you that the Levite priesthood was coming from the east going to the west. Then we showed the Melchizedek ministry coming from the west going to the east. I still remember. You remember I read the quotation. If you don't ask the librarians, they'll give you those messages. I read the quotation where Brother Bram say, where I'm standing physically now, it cannot go further. It has to go back. Then we said, if one was coming from the east to the west into the tabernacle, if he has reached the end, that means he's in the Holy of Holies. You remember that one? Amen. So we thank God for that. Just go and refer back to those messages. But I want to speak about meeting Melchizedek, because quite frankly, it is under the banner of the message of the hour. The message has allowed us to know the scriptural requirements that must be met before certain things are done. How many agree with me? In the world, you just meet a woman, and if she say yay, then you marry. But in the message, there are scriptural requirements. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. In the message, in the world, you can say, I study a deliverance ministry, and you just pitch the tent. But in the message, there is scriptural requirements. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a scriptural requirements of how to raise a child. There's a scriptural requirements of how to lead the church. There's scriptural requirements of how to live. Hallelujah. And then I believe that there are scriptural requirements of how to approach the Lord's Supper. Amen. Hallelujah. How many before they came into the message were having breakfast and lunch thinking that is the Lord's Supper? Amen. Very learned people have raised their hands. It was very tough. Without the prophet, a learned man means nothing. It's only when you met this great five prophet of God that told you that you eating that lunch or breakfast, that's not it. And told you that supper means in the evening. That is why we have gathered in the evening. As I'm speaking right now, there are people that have eaten. Catholic, they do it every Sunday morning. They eat communion, the Lord's Supper, in the morning. So it's not the Lord's Supper because the timing of the day is wrong. Yeah. Even the elements that they use, Brother Mutlabe was preaching here. They once had a pastor while they were in the Pentecostals, and then the pastor would come there. They say, we need communion. He say, hey, boy, come over here. Here's 50 rand. Go down there and get grape juice and biscuits. Then they have communion. Are we together? Then when we came into the message, that's when we knew that even the person that makes bread, we really check their life. Not everybody can make bread. Hallelujah. It's a direct quotation. It says, we check the people that do that. And then the wine that we are going to consume, a lot of times in certain congregations, they do the wine themselves. But I did not want that, because if we say, brothers, let's do the wine, this week is stronger, next month is weaker. So I don't want that. I want, when I do something, there must be consistency on quality. Amen. So this one, we get it from the Jewish concept. They are doing it the way they used to do it in the olden days. Are we together? I saw another brother looking at the label. You will not find it in the bottle of stock. Amen. We don't take it from the bottle of stock. Amen. There is somewhere where we find it. Amen. Have you that have partook the communion, have you picked up that it's quality? And there is no variation. Amen. And it does, because grape juice will go stale. This one, the more, I think we've had them for quite years now. The older it becomes, the better it becomes. Amen. Like a believer, the older they become in the message, the sweeter they become in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Do I have witnesses in the building? Amen. Now, but it's not just coming and consuming bread and liquid. There is a way. You, in your life, you must have met Melchizedek. Yes. I'll repeat. In your life, you must have met Melchizedek. Right. There's a sister that asked me, and said, Pastor, what is the evidence that one has met Melchizedek? Brother Ron said, when you meet Melchizedek, you think differently. Yes. Hallelujah. That means the old thoughts are no longer there anymore. Amen. The old habits are no longer there anymore. The old ways are no longer there anymore. It shows that you have met Melchizedek. Brother Branham say in the message, the Hebrews 1:5, he says, what you need is to meet this Melchizedek one time. This is Pastor Ngodima's favorite quotation, I know. What you need is to meet this Melchizedek one time. Because once you meet him one time, he changes your life for the entire life. Hallelujah. Yes. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ, when it washes you completely. Hallelujah. And let him bless you and give you the wine, the bread, eternal life. Then, brother, let me say, then you will see things differently. And this evening I can ask, are you seeing things differently? Because when you see things differently, when the world say, this is fun, you say, this is sin. When the world say, this is foolishness, you say, this is a blessing. Why? Because you are an oddball. Meeting Melchizedek makes you an oddball. It makes you a very peculiar person with peculiar thoughts, with a peculiar life, with a peculiar saying, with a peculiar dressing. There's so many things that are peculiar. Folks, if you find yourself wanting to look like the world, there is a problem there. There is a huge problem there. Amen. Now, brothers have brought it there. In the same message, Hebrews, he says, this now, Brother Brenham, he says in paragraph 8, the same message, paragraph 8. This is said it in paragraph 155. Amen. You know, if you build a structure, if you can find a builder that builds, but from time to time, he does not refer to the building plan. A builder that does not speak to the architect is going to cause a mess. Hallelujah. I'm teaching you. If somebody just comes and look at the plan like this and say, I got it and put it there and start building, by the time it's finished, you are going to regret. Hallelujah. There must be, between the builder and the architect, there must be a communication. So I'm a builder, and Brother Brennan was the architect. That's why you see me reading the blueprint. Amen. Now, he says, why? Is the right one? I don't know. It looks like, just go a little bit down. There must be where he says why. If it doesn't, I don't know. That is the Hebrews that you preached on 1957 on the 15th. It was evening service, paragraph 8. It may be because the Hebrew book was a series. Paragraph 8. It says, why? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, something on the inside of me met that Melchizedek one day. Something on the inside of me met Melchizedek that day. You must acknowledge that there is something in you first. Hallelujah. What is in you? The inner man. Hallelujah. You are not just an outward body. There is an inner man. While the inner man perishes daily. Is it this the right one? Oh, my printer cut one. It's good to have this thing. It's 108. Amen. You see, the brothers and I, we are working together here. Now, something on the inside of me met that Melchizedek one day. And he spoke peace to me and gave me the eternal life. How many witnesses are in the building? Where something in you one day met this Melchizedek. And folks, if the devil, if you were never talked into it, somebody will never talk you out of it. There is a peace that can never be instilled in you by a human being. And if it was never instilled in you by a human being, no one shall take it away. The problem today, we take our peace, it depends on external factors. Husband, wife, pastor, fellow church member, friend, they are going to disappoint you. Your inner peace must be based on God. Because in a changing world, God remains a God that does not change. Are you still with me? Something on the inside of me met Melchizedek one day, and he spoke peace to me and gave me eternal life. As our father Abraham met Melchizedek, we've got to meet Melchizedek. Something on the inside. Why doesn't he say it was just not a physical meeting? It's because Melchizedek is a supernatural being. So the natural being cannot meet the supernatural being. The supernatural being must meet the supernatural being. This meeting happens in the supernatural realm. So for you to operate in the supernatural realm, you must be a supernatural being. The problem today, people think they are natural beings, Hallelujah. Trying to live like supernatural beings. We are actually supernatural beings trying to figure our way in the natural realm. Your origin is supernatural. Hallelujah. And my question is, let the natural elements not derail you. You are a supernatural being with a supernatural mission, living for the supernatural God, under the supernatural vision, commission, and living a supernatural life to give evidence in the natural realm that there is a supernatural world. Did somebody get me right today? Hallelujah. Now, in the message, the communion, he preached this on the 18th of April, 1957. Here is it. Brother Bum say, you must always check the pattern. What is happening is that after the battle was over, this now I'm running ahead of myself because I'm getting excited. After the battle was over, this is now direct quotation. After the victory was won, this after the battle was over, after the victory was won, after the patch had been made, Melchizedek met Abraham on the plains and brought bread and wine and served it to him. And who? No one was that than the one that met Abraham about a year later and sat under the tree and talked to him about the promised son. You remember? Now, why is it after the battle? Let me read, who is this Melchizedek, paragraph 105. Notice, after, I need to emphasize, after the battle was over, because meeting Melchizedek, it is for the overcomers. Hallelujah. You've got to overcome to meet Melchizedek. And after you meet Melchizedek, then you've got access to the Lord's table. Hallelujah. You can't overcome unless there is a battle, as we said. You must be prepared to fight the enemy. And after you fought the enemy and overcame the enemy, then Melchizedek emerges in your life. Then you meet Melchizedek. Then he gives you bread and wine, which symbolizes peace. Because he is a king of peace. He is a prince of shalom. Hallelujah. Now, Melchizedek served his victorious child communion. Think of that. Part this communion, today you are looking at the wine and the bread, but actually it is a part of himself. Hallelujah. When Melchizedek gives you communion, he is giving you a part of himself. He says, now we want to see here in type here in view the communion. After the battle, he gave of himself. Because the communion is part of Christ. And after the struggle is over, after you have done, got yourself whipped out. Hallelujah. Because the devil will whip you. Hallelujah. There is no battle that you'll go through without having scars. That means it was not a real battle. A real battle, even after you have overcome, you are coming out with a little bit of blood oozing out of your body. You are coming with some wounds. Why? Because you were in a battle. But after you have been whipped out, then is when you partake of Christ. You become part of his being. Brother, let me say, do you get it? Do you get it? Amen. Before I jump somewhere, brother, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, what is happening? In the days, Abraham lived during the days of Sodom. But he was not in Sodom. He was out of Sodom. Yes. Hear me out. Now, what happened is that after the battle was over, Melchizedek gave Abraham a communion. Hallelujah. After Jesus was here with the disciples and he had contestation with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, at the end, the thing that he did as a last thing, he gave them communion. Brother Branham preached many years. The last sermon that he delivered, what was that? Hallelujah. These things, they run in parallel. I hope you've got supernatural eyes to see this thing. It's not a coincidence that the last sermon that Brother Brennan preached, it was a communion. It is a pattern, folks. Amen. Now, but For you to partake from the Lord's table, you must never hate your brother. Because where he that hates his brother is a murderer. And if you don't love the brother that you know, how can you love God that you don't know? Hallelujah. And if you say love your brother, it tells you that your brother will not be perfect. Your brother will wrong you. That's why they say, how many times must we forgive our brother? He said 70 times, 70 in a day. Hallelujah. But today people cannot forgive a brother that made one mistake for the rest of the year. And they claim to be Christians. Who are we bluffing? Hallelujah. But has anybody here ever been wronged 70 times in a day? Hallelujah. But we are failing to forgive somebody that wronged us for a year. Oh, hallelujah. I know. So I want to read an attitude of a brother. Such one cannot partake from the communion. In the message, Adoption, paragraph 141. Brother, let me say, I went after a brother not long ago. He had went astray. A young fellow said to me, let that rascal go, leave him alone. This is a brother saying to another brother, the prophet say, hey, we haven't seen brother so-and-so in a while. This brother say, that rascal, leave him alone, he's just a rascal. Bram say, I said, if I ever get to a place that my heart doesn't go with my brother, then it's time for me to go to the altar because I have fallen from grace. Our father went after Lot. You need to go after your brother. You need to go after your sister. And today, backsliders are no longer coming back because no one is going after them. Hallelujah. Until somebody said, I saw she wasn't going to last. I saw he wasn't going to last. If you were a prophet like that, why did you not prevent their departure? Hallelujah. We need to go after our brothers. We need to go after our sisters. Because our father went after his brother. Yes, you say, but you have warned him. Even Abraham warned Lot and said, brother, don't go to Sodom. It will swallow you. But after he swallowed him, he went after him. Amen. I said, I will go as long as he's got breath in his body. And I will catch him somewhere along the line. So that means, when do we give up on a backslider? The day we bury the backslider. As long as the backslider is breathing somewhere, we need to go after the backslider. I know some people, as soon as somebody backslides, they even delete the number. Brother, how are you going to check on a backslider when you deleted the number? I'm stepping on toes, I know. It is deliberate. Amen. Now, yes, sir. I caught him. Hallelujah. And brought him back. He's back in the fold safely now. He would have went astray as sure as the world. But Brother Brennan, because of determination, he brought the backslider back into the fold. When was the last time you brought somebody back into the fold? That is the question. Now, coming to, in the message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, paragraph 253, Brother Brennan says, no man, no person, no woman, no man, no girl, I don't care who he is fit to go in the pulpit or even claim to be a Christian without being filled with the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen to that one? No one has the right to claim that unless they are filled with the Holy Ghost. You have no right to the Lord's Supper or any communion, feet washing or anything until you have been cleansed by the holy fire of God. That means if you are not baptized, because you cannot have the Holy Ghost without being baptized. I'll repeat. Because the Holy Ghost If it comes, somebody say, but they received the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts without being baptized. The Holy Ghost, after they received it, it led them to baptism. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Folks, don't ever be misled by anyone. If you come here, you are a visitor, year in, year out, and you are not baptized, you are not a believer. You are just a good visitor. But God, the Bible says, they never said, be a visitor, you will see the kingdom of God. It says, be born again. And being born again requires what? It requires water, blood, and spirit. If those elements are not there, then there is no new life. Without baptism, you are just, even if you were born in the message, you came here for over 15 years with mom and dad, you are a good visitor. And not long, there's going to be some mannerism in you that shows that this one is a really good visitor. But we're not looking for visitors, we're looking for the converted. Because without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is no conversion. Peter, when you receive, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. But Peter was baptized. Peter cast out demons. Now we realize you can cast out demons and still not be converted. You can sing an anointed song without being converted. You can preach a good sermon without being converted. Conversion comes by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost incinerates, it burns the old nature out, and it brings forth a new person. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Young people, are you here? The Holy Ghost will make you behave differently. Somebody must never tell you that, hey, you need to relax and fit in and be good buddy-buddy with somebody. The world will swallow you and you will never come back.
Yeah.
I see the graduates, our Pretoria folks are here, the graduates. Yes, I'm addressing you as well. Without the Holy Ghost, mom and dad will send you to varsity. Instead of bringing a diploma, you bring a baby shower. The Holy Ghost will protect a person because the Holy Ghost is there with you all the time. Can somebody say glory to God on that one? Amen. Now, another thing in the message, why are we not a denomination? Paragraph 195. Brahm says, now, we can tell you why we take communion. We tell you why we take feet washing. Why? There is a reason why we take feet washing. There is a reason we partake from the communion. And, excuse me, why we won't let the members take it if we know that they are in sin. There's a difference being in sin and fixing your matters. And there is a difference being in sin and really drowning and relaxing in sin. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Amen. That's why this is the prophet. This is the prophet of the age. That's why this last 2 or 3 weeks, this man of God was working. I have been going from one member to the other. Where you have been having your little fusses. I said, Brother Michael, jump into the car. We're going to Brother Clement. Brother Clement, Brother Michael just visited me. He raised this matter with me. What do you have to say for yourself? What has killed Christianity is because we have entertained gossip. Hallelujah. Just try. One time if somebody says something about somebody, just say, hang on, let me get into the car with you. Let's visit them. You'll see the mouth will go dry. You'll see the blood pressure will rise. Why? There is a problem there. Hallelujah. He says, now we can tell you why we take communion in the message, why are we not the denomination, paragraph 195. Now we can tell you why we take communion. We tell you why we take feet washing. Why we won't let the members take it if we know they are in sin. That's why these last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been going from one member to the other, where you have been having your little fusses around, going around. One, excuse me, one wouldn't speak to the other and pass one another on the road and turn your head. At Branham Tabernacle, these were worshippers, not at Brother Madiba's church, at the prophet's church. They meet each other on the road. When they see, he just look. Have you ever seen somebody ignoring you? You come, they just look that other way. And you know that they saw me. Brother say, shame on you. And I say, shame on you. Who has taken, who has took the blessed cup of God across this, the altar here, and called you brothers and sisters, and then get on a telephone and get off about one another? You are not fit to be called Christians when you are that way. Amen. You keep off them telephones. Then they were using fixed line, but it was problematic. Today, it's cell phone WhatsApp. Brahm say you keep them off, keep off them telephone. If you can't talk good about somebody, don't talk at all. Remember, God is going to hold you responsible. As long as that kind of a spirit is in you, you know you are not right with God. If a man is in the wrong, go to him and be reconciled. If you can't be reconciled, take somebody with you. No wonder God can't discipline his church because you are not doing it right. Instead of getting on the phone and talking about this one, what's taking place, this little cult and so forth around that, instead of doing that, why don't you do what the Bible says? Hey, the telephone was a problem during the time of the problem of the prophet. It is still a problem even our time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know that a certain call, when it comes, is not going to be edifying. Hallelujah. And there are brothers that Brother Chetty normally works night shift. He calls. He knows that I'm a very late night sleeper, very nocturnal. Amen. It's rare to find me asleep before 12 o'clock at night. Is it true, Brother Chetty? Oh, just shaking. Now, when somebody calls you around that time, we can call him at 11 o'clock, we'll be fellowshipping. You wouldn't say, hey, did you see that brother? That brother's like this. No, 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 no. Amen. We only talk about the weight. I don't say don't talk about a brother. If Deacon comes and say, hey, brother so-and-so, I immediately say, we need to go and find that brother and fix this matter. Are you with me? I hope we are together. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. No one. Now, he says, instead of doing that, why don't you do what the Bible says? If some brother has been overtaken in a fault, go to him and see if you can't get reconciled with him. Well, now, he did me. This is somebody, but this is the one that started it. I don't care what he did. Go to him anyhow. He didn't say for him to come to you. You go to him if he's wrong. You say, well, he was in the wrong. He ought to come to me. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said for you to go to him if he's wrong. You go to him. Then if you want to listen to you, then take somebody with you as a witness. Then if you want to see that witness, then now I'll take your pastor. Then you tell him and say, I'm going to tell it to the church. And in 30 days from now, if you brethren haven't made that up, this brother here is willing to be reconciled. Won't you do? If you won't make that up within 30 days, then what's going to happen? You are no more one of us. The Bible says, if you won't hear the church, then let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican. You see, as long as a brother is under that protection of the church, the blood of Christ is protecting him. Amen. Do you know that if somebody is not doing things right, it's still part of us. The blood of Jesus Christ covers them despite their childishness, despite their shenanigans. So sometimes when we say, stay at home, the devil has got to come and just ruffle the feathers so that you know that the devil is a really big deal. Then you come running in to be reconciled. That's the reason we don't get the church rolling. Are we together? Now, coming to this, this is the last quotation. Now, therefore, I believe that the eating of the cracker, this is in the question and answers. Now, I do not believe that the kosher bread should be substituted for a cracker. I believe, and when during communion, I travel quite a lot, and you find in certain places they've made bread, but it is not this bread the way it's supposed to be made. It's more like a dumpling. Yes, it's more like a dumpling. Because when you eat bread, this bread, as you eat, it must be able to be broken in your mouth. Are we together? I believe that it should be a holy unleavened bread. The type of the unleavened bread that was made in Egypt. I believe that the blood should not be grape juice, but it should be wine. Grape juice sours and spoils as it gets old, but wine gets better and stronger as it gets old. It never loses its strength. The blood of Christ doesn't sour or spoil as it gets older. It gets stronger and better as the days goes by to the believer. It is a literal wine and bread. So that means you cannot spiritualize it and say it was just a communion. It is still needs to have the physical component, although it symbolizes something supernatural. Are we together? Now, communion bread should be made by people who dedicated themselves and consecrated themselves to God. This bread, we cannot just say, hey, do it. Next time we find you that you are jumping from this place and that place, you are very chaotic. No, 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 no. It is for the people that are consecrated. Did you read that one there? It should be made by people who are who have dedicated themselves and consecrated themselves to God. I went to a church once where they've taken this old loaf bread, where sinners cursing and carrying on and fill and cut up that old bread and stuck it out there with some kind of a juice to drink. To me, that was ridiculous. I believe it should just be exactly the way the scripture said it should be and not vary one speck from the scriptures. Stay right with it. That's what the prophet says. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? There is a prayer request for Brother Chetty's mom is not feeling well due to high blood pressure as we bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again. We are about to approach your table. But dear God, before we do that, there is a prayer request from our brother. His mother is not feeling well. And dear God, when the loved one is not feeling well, because there is a bond of love that connects us, it is bound to make ourselves not to feel well as well. We are sending a prayer her way that, dear God, the God that we know that you are able to normalize things. You are the great physician. You are Dr. Jesus. You heal all the diseases. You know what needs to be administered for her to be completely healed. We don't only pray, dear God, for the high blood pressure, but we pray for everything in totality. Dear God, we know that you can do things so that she can rejoice and know that God has undertaken matters for me. We pray and commit it to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And once again, we are going to approach the table. Bless this communion wine. Bless this bread. Bless these believers that are going to partake. Dear God, let it not just be a ritual. Let us come with reverence. Let us come by revelation. Let us come by inspiration. knowing, dear God, the scriptural obligations that are associated with this matter. Dear God, anything that we do in this church, we have learned to consult the spoken word. We have learned to consult the Bible because the message, it is our absolute in the end time. That is why we commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, what is going to happen, just a sec, as we turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, while I am going here, the deacons, they may take their rightful positions. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Shall we read it together? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Saldenach. Same night. Not same morning. Not same afternoon. Same night. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He didn't pull it apart. It was broken. The bread must be broken. It must not look like a dumpling and feel like a dumpling. Can somebody say amen to that? Do you see how precise we are? He break it and said, take it.
This is my body,
which is broken for you. That's why when you eat it, it must be broken in your mouth to symbolize the broken body of the Lord. Do you see where I emphasize that it must be broken? This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood.
This do ye,
as often as ye drink it,
in remembrance of me.
For as often as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Some misinterpreted this and say he came in 1963. The coming here refers when he comes in his corporal body. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly as musicians take their place. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. That's what we'll be singing. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
Jesus,
the blood. Ashes whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Keep on singing. Oh, because one needs to be there with the bridge, the other one here with the wine, the other one help with the rope. Do the one. You'll call them one by one. The row by row. Oh. Once they are done, they can just put it on the tray. Ah, no. Once they are done, empty ones. Let's sing it.
I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes wetter than snow.
Yeah, fam.
Have you been? All over the building. How many are thankful for the blood? I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. All over the building, we are thankful for the blood.
For the blood of Jesus.
we just raise our hands. Just wave it to the Lord. Thank you for the blood. It washed my sins away. I'm thankful tonight.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful for the blood
of Jesus. I'm thankful
for the blood of Jesus. Oh, it really washes.
One more time, all over the building. Don't be ashamed to worship Him.
Oh, Jesus.
Our sins were terrible. I'm thankful for the blood. Give God a round of applause. We are thankful for the blood. Thankful for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Amen. We are now moving into another section in the book St. John. 13 is the chapter. The verse will start from verse 1. If you are a visitor, you would have observed that we are quite diligent in following scriptural precision on whatever we do. We are going to read it together. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended. Did we just finish supper? Not breakfast, not lunch. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Don't worry, we don't have Judas anymore. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God,
and went to God.
He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments,
and took a towel.
That's what is going to happen on that side, and girded himself. After that he poureth the water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. John 14, verse 20. I'm not going there. We are still on the scripture. It says, at that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you. Today it is I in you. Jesus still washes his disciples' feet. But he is going to use the body of your brother, a body of your sister, to wash your feet. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. What did we say? Peter is a sanguine, eh? You remember the message? I don't forget what I teach you. Amen. And Peter saith unto him, Lord,
Dost thou wash my feet?
Jesus answered and said unto him,
what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter.
Peter saith unto him,
thou shalt never wash my feet.
It's like a believer that says, I will not come to the communion service.
Let's listen to what Jesus says.
Jesus answered him,
if I wash thee not,
thou hast no part with me.
This is very critical, folks. If you don't do that, you have no part with Jesus.
Simon Peter saith unto him,
Lord,
not my feet only,
but also my hands and my head.
From an extreme to another extreme.
Jesus saith to him,
he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet,
but is clean every whit,
and ye are clean,
but not all,
because Judas was there.
For he knew who should betray him.
Therefore said he,
ye are not all clean.
So after he had washed their feet,
and had taken his garments,
and was set down again,
he said unto them,
know ye what I've done to you?
Ye call me Master and Lord,
and ye say well,
for so I am.
Leave it there.
What's happening here? He's now breaking the mystery of Godhead to them.
Remember when Abraham met Melchizedek, when Lord saw the two angels, he said, my Lord.
But Abraham said, my Lord.
At the communion here, at the Lord's Supper, he said, you call me Master and Lord.
He was declaring to them that I am God in flesh.
And you say, well, for so I am.
That's why tonight you've got to know that it's not three gods, it's one God in three offices.
Verse 14.
If I then,
your Lord and Master,
have washed your feet,
you also ought to wash one another's feet.
Ought, it means obligation.
It's a commandment.
For I've given you an example
that you should do as I've done to you.
Verily, verily,
I say unto you,
the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
You'll bear with me. I know some they pronounce it neither, but I'm a pastor, you'll follow suit.
If you know these things,
happy are ye if you do them.
We don't just read about them, but we do them.
Amen.
Now, what is going to happen, brothers, if you can just find a way, pianist, to alternate, they would want you to go first so that you can be back sooner, and even as Brother Kuni and musicians. But first, there's a request that the elderly sisters must be the first that side, and the pregnant women. We're trying to be sensitive so that they must not stand long that side. Is it fair? Are you going to?
Amen.
Obviously, those that we know that are pregnant.
God bless you richly as we go. The sisters will go to their restroom. The brothers will go to the Sunday school
there in the log cabin. And then it is still part of the service. Don't pull out your cell phone and send WhatsApp somewhere. Relax. Once you are done, you come back here. Then we dismiss you officially. Then you can greet one another as you have been dismissed. While you are there, no chatty chatty. It is still part of the service. God bless you richly. Let's just say, in the cross, in the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Beyond the river, by the cross I'll watch and wait. Hoping and trusting ever. Golden strength. Just beyond the river. In the cross. Just in the cross. Let's cut to the music. All over the building. In the cross. Thank you, Father.
Agree with the scripture. Happy are ye if you know these things and do them. How many every time after the communion you feel better? Amen. Communion and feet washing makes you happy. Amen. I'll praise his name.
Sorry, Mom.
over the building. The name of the Lord and be defeated. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. That name can break every demon. That name can break every demon. We thank God for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Branham said the name of Jesus, it is the same as the rod of Moses. The rod of Moses opened the Red Sea. The name of Jesus can still open the pathways. The name of Jesus can still heal the diseases. The name of Jesus is still the name of deliverance. That's why, Acts 4 verse 12, no name was given to the human race except the name of the Lord Jesus. When we come against Satan by that name, oh goodness, it breaks every demon. It humbles every spirit. It crumbles every wall. Folks, we thank God for the name of Jesus. Every situation in the building right now, we subject that situation to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every situation. Every situation. That's why he said, I came in the name of my Father. They received him. They received me, no. But we say today, we receive you. We receive you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I was still 15, 14. I had a privilege of being a friend of Brother Theo Erasmus. He used to say, the name Jesus, it has us in the name. You as we are included in the name. Hallelujah. Amen. Come up with that one. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name.
Come on, you can clap those hands. victory in the name of Jesus. Brother Branham say, we are entering a season where you can tell your brother, do you need rain? I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe turn around and say to your brother, whatever you need, I give it to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give it to you. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. No one came to me.
Whatever you desire. God
bless you. Amen. God bless you, brother. I couldn't leave myself out. Least you get blessed, I don't get blessed. Amen. It has been a wonderful day. How many agree? It has certainly been a wonderful day. Might in battle, Jehovah is your name. We're going to wrap up in prayer. Brother Watt will come and lead us in prayer. Just to close. We're going to sing a good song for Kalath. Yeah, uns moet daai een. Daai een. Jy weet. In this church, everyone has got their time. Sometimes when we sing in Congo, you don't know, Brother Grace doesn't know what to do. Sometimes we jump into Zulu people, they don't know what to do. Sometimes we go to Shona people don't know what to do. We have every song for everyone. Amen. If you don't hear another one, you wait your turn. When your turn comes, we will see you on your face that it's your turn. Amen. Jehovah is your name. It has just been such a wonderful day. Amen.
Mighty
Jehovah is your name.
we pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, what a privilege and an honor it is, O God, to call you Jehovah this evening, O Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, because, O God, we can testify, O Lord, of where you've brought us from, O God. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, when we call you Jehovah, O Lord, Father God, we see the Red Sea part, O God. Father God, we see Pharaoh that's behind us. We see him no more, O God, because of that name, O God. And, O Lord, this evening, O God, Father God, what a privilege it is, O God, to be able, O God, to have come, O God, and sat at your table, O God. Father God, to have had communion, O God, with you, O Lord, Father. O Lord, we say thank you tonight, O God. Heavenly Father, God, we are grateful, O God, that you send the prophet our way, O God. Father God, to come and remind us, O God, to show us the finer detail, O God. Father God, of a closer walk with thee, O God. Father, for so many missed the mark, O God, because, O God, they did not have that closer walk, O God, with you, O God. And we say thank you, O God. Father God, we thank you this evening, O God. Father God, that we could, O Lord, gather, O God, in this fashion, O God. Heavenly Father God, and still, O God, have, O God, to be able to rejoice, O God. Father God, because, O God, every battle has been won, O God. Father, tonight, O God, Father, victory is ours, O God. Father God, every chain has been broken, O God, because of your name, O God. The name of Jesus that we called on the scene, O God. Father, we say thank you, O God. We pray now, Lord, Father, as we go to our respective homes, O God. Father God, may you continue, O God, to speak with us, O God. Father God, may we go, O God, Father, in love tonight, O God. Because, O God, it is your love that binds us, O God. And we say thank you tonight, O God. Father, we pray your blessing over our pastor, O God. Father, may you continue, O God, to use him, O God. Father, Lord, Father God, every brother, every sister tonight, O God. Father, when we leave this place, O God, Father, may we be, O God, Father, the lighthouse of this community, O God. Father, the light in us, O God, may it continue to shine throughout, O God. Father God, because, O God, we are just but reflecting your light tonight, O God. And we say thank you now, Lord God. Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In the morning we said fight back. In the afternoon, then we meet Melchizedek. Amen. Then we had communion. Amen. Wasn't it orderly?
Amen.
God bless you richly. Now, let's do this. Let's say, Umusa. Itin. Well, yes. However way I put it, you got the signal. Now, Daifro from Samaria. Then thereafter, you'll be dismissed. Have a blessed, victorious week.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If there is anything that Satan had planned for you, I abort his plans in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's happening?
What's happening?
It says, Jesus refused with my life and said, I will never forsake you. Is that what it says? You want to add more? All right. Amen. Are you ready? Let them give you that one. You know, heaven is going to be a very awesome place. The other time I saw the Mexican believers, they came with, I don't know what you call it, Brasbu. It looks like a very big guitar. What is it? Same height as me, but it looks like a guitar. Is it? They were having a good time. I couldn't understand their music. I couldn't follow. But I could see the guys were having a good time. Then I realized when we get to heaven, everyone will be given a chance to sing in their own way. Folks, heaven, let me warn you, heaven is going to be very noisy. When taking the message, it is going to be very noisy. As we will be sorted, because we are already used to that. Hallelujah. That, isn't what Brother Mim says, Brother Shetty? It says? Earth is the quietest place. Heaven is the noisiest place. Hell is the hottest place. You choose. Amen. We're going to have a good time when we get there. Amen. When you get there, don't worry. I'll look for you and say, let us just render a musical item for Brother Brenham. Let him see, hear how Emalatling sing. Yeah, we won't be ashamed. We've got a way that we can show him that we were there in our post of duty. We've got something to contribute when we get there. Us will be there on the program. I'll make sure. Amen. Come with it. God bless you. Have a blessed week. Turn around and say to your neighbor, have a blessed week. Amen. Amen.
Rufa Samaria, Kimbe Biki Pate, Kimbe Biki Pate. Give up. there.